his mounds outpour. There where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, grace, grace, heaven's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, shepherd's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, shepherd's grace, grace that is greater than all. That will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
The grace of God. The day of grace is almost past. How many people understand that the law still applies to all of us? The law in the Bible: thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do any of those things. These things all still apply to us. But the difference for the Christian is we're redeemed from the curse of the law, because the law brought the death penalty to those who broke it and didn't turn from it. So here we stand today with a lot of laws, rules, regulations. You look at the world systems, church systems, you look at Christianity, unbelievable how the confusion is mounting everywhere. They're bringing in the New Age. New Age. They're not tarot cards anymore. They're angel cards. This yoga stuff is being brought into the churches. Many, many churches adopt this yoga. It's just exercises and breathing exercises. You want exercise? Go run for a mile. It'll make you breathe. But, you know, Satan is sly. He's out to steal, kill, and to destroy. Churches, there's many organizations. If Satan doesn't get you from this way, he gets you from that way. He brings you into bondage from whatever side he can. And today I want to teach on the bondages that many Christians are in. And it comes, those bondages come from where? From their upbringing. And I found some interesting scriptures that warn us about the leaven of the Pharisees. Not leaven of bread, but of the teachings of the Pharisees. We have to remember that God, Jesus said to the people, If they're in Moses' stead, the Pharisees are in Moses' stead. If they preach Moses' laws, teach Moses' laws, then observe them. But their own teachings, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Very interesting. How many of us have been following rules, laws, and regulations for a lot of our life, thinking they're somehow godly? They're godly attributes, which is nothing else in reality when you go to different cultures, something to be laughed at. I've been to different cultures in this world, and I've studied different cultures, and sometimes you wonder if we'd bring all the churches together, all the Christians together, into one huge stadium, and each would worship God according to his own culture. We would think some of those people are heathen. We wouldn't recognize them as brothers or sisters because of the way they worship. It has nothing to do with the way we worship. It's what's in your heart. Each to his own on how God leads him. And the Bible has some rules on how to do it. In most cases, I believe there are many who follow those rules. There's a few exceptions. So what do we do today? I want to teach on an interesting message. But before we get into it, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth of where we are today. Help us to understand and to stand upon the word. I thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The Lord is an awesome God, and the grace of God is incredible. When I study how God chose to save a person, it basically boggles my mind. If a man at his deathbed, who's been a despot all his life, who has lived for the devil all his life, if he at his deathbed cries out to God, just like the thief on the cross did, God tells him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And people don't see that. They don't seem to recognize the simplicity of what God did for us. And the reason that God did it for us is because we haven't got the capacity or the capability to do it for ourselves. Does that make sense to you? Yes, it does. If it doesn't to you, then you need to study your Bible. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 1, listen to this. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Look at this scripture. I bear record they have a zeal for God. When you see a religious organization, they have a zeal for God. Look at the Muslims. They have a zeal for the devil. They think he's God. Their zeal is incredible. Unbelievable. They will kill themselves for Allah. That's what I call zeal. And then you look at religious systems, cults, all through the Western civilizations. They have zeals for God. They bring themselves into bondage and trying to somehow appease God. They want to do it in their way. It says, "I bear them record, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness. What is ignorance? Ignorance is they don't know the righteousness that God demands. And that righteousness is perfection. Hallelujah. So they don't submit themselves unto God's righteousness. They can't see it. They can't understand it. So they go about to establish their own righteousness, just like the Jews did, the Pharisees. And Jesus warned them of that. How many of us come from a religious organization? We know they have a zeal for God, but they don't know God. So they go about to establish their own righteousness. Listen to the scriptures in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me. What? In vain do they worship me, teaching what? For doctrines, the commandments of man. Most religious organizations, you will ask them, are you a Christian? I hope so. They're definitely spiritual transgenders, aren't they? They don't quite know what they are. We'll call them spiritual transgenders. How many of our brothers and sisters, flesh brothers and sisters, blood brothers and sisters, are spiritual transgenders? Many, many of them. They don't know whether they belong to God or not. They don't know if they're Christians or not. That's an interesting one. They worship God with their mouth, honor him with their lips, but is their heart one with Christ? No, it isn't. Because if their heart would be one with Christ, they would know who they are. They wouldn't be a spiritual transgender. They would say, I am a Christian. Yesterday at a funeral, I asked somebody, are you a Christian? He said, I hope so. I said, hey, that's not good enough. When you speak to me, you better know that you are a Christian. You know, people throughout the ages have worshiped God, not understanding what God wants. So they form their own religious ideologies. It says, they worship me with their lips and with their minds, but their heart is far from me. Why don't they see that they are not really Christ ones? It is because their hearts are far from me. Look, go home, visit your brothers and sisters. Ask them, do you belong to God? Are you going to go to heaven? Is Jesus Christ your brother? We hope so. Maybe in the end we'll find out. Why don't they know? Because there's nothing there. Hallelujah. Remember that saying lately? There's nothing there. In vain, it says, do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's what it turns out to be after a while. They teach godly doctrines, which they think are godly, the commandments of men, which has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. So where will these people go? If their eyes are not opened, they are going to be separated from God. They're going to go into a Christless eternity, because the Lord God will say to them when they say, have we not done this? Have we not done that? God will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. how many, many people have fallen asleep thinking in their heart that their religious upbringing and their religious state of mind is what's going to bring them into the kingdom. I'm sad to say there's going to be thousands and thousands and millions of them because they did not search out scriptures. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. Let's not forget that. Regardless how they preach the love gospel, regardless how they preach, we have to accept one another. We still have to understand that the man is dead in trespasses and sin, and he needs to be saved. He needs to become born again. He needs to be changed within his heart. Regardless how good the person is, if he doesn't become a new creation in Christ Jesus, he's going to spend the rest of his eternity in the eternal, what? Lake of fire. It's not going to be a warm place. It's going to be a hot place. Maybe the opposite of what we're feeling outside. Maybe even worse. But God wants us to understand these things. And the Apostle Paul, he repeats them over and over and over again, trying to drill it into our hearts that we need a Savior. Listen to Matthew chapter 16. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. We all know the story, those of us who read the Bible. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, it is because they have taken no bread. But this bread was not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about something else. The next verse goes, how is it that you do not understand? In Matthew chapter 16 and 11, verse 11, I speak it not to you concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how he bid them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, they were teaching garbage. When you study what Jesus said, they put terrible weight on people, but they themselves don't care and don't touch them. And this is what religious organizations are doing. We all grew up in religious systems, and we know what these, each to our own, we know what those doctrines are. And when we come out of it, we look and say, what on earth were we believing in? And you know, we're kind of ashamed. Anyways, I was ashamed that I would think some of that stuff was godliness. I remember in my heart and in my mind, I thought that was godliness before God. I used to think that every Hutterite preacher who died went to heaven. I actually coveted to be a preacher that died. I wanted to go to heaven. I was so sure they were God's chosen anointed ones, the only ones on this earth. When they died, they would go to heaven. I was about 6-7 years old, and I coveted to be in that coffin. That's how much I wanted to go to heaven. So God now, with a shocking revelation, tells me, no, David, it's not like that. They have been a deception. They have deceived many, many, many thousands of people. They themselves have been blind, leading the blind, and both are falling into ditches. And we, God has chosen us to teach them about the way of salvation. This is a very, very important situation that we're in. God has called us to preach. God has called us to teach. He has called us to set the captive but the problem is with many who come out of religious organizations, they have a big problem. And I'm going to read you some scripture here. See if you'll be able to identify the problem. Remember when Jesus walked up into the mountain of transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 in verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. When you come out of a religious system, how many tabernacles do you have? One for Moses, one for Jesus, one for the religious system that you come out of, and one for Jesus. I see it everywhere. When it comes to religion, there's a tabernacle of the religion, and there is Jesus too. And the problem is, they visit the tabernacle of the religion more often than they do Jesus. They talk more about what the religion is than what Jesus is. How many people go on with Jesus? What did Jesus tell us to do? Greater works will you do than I did. You'll go heal the sick, cast out devils, preach the gospel, help the poor. Where is that in many churches today? It's non-existent. And those who try are being mocked in front of everybody. So, I want to ask you a question today. You came out of a religious organization. Do you have a tabernacle only for Jesus? I wish I could say I was cured of the tabernacle of the Hutterites right from get-go. But I wasn't. I had to study the Word of God to see the error of their ways, and stripped it slowly from me. And as of late, it has come off pretty fast. It's gone. I know now for a fact that the only way I'll enter into the kingdom is through the grace of God and the blood of Jesus alone, and not by the suspenders that I wear. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Not by the dress that you wear, not by the head covering that you wear. It's by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus. So we need to check out our hearts. Do we have a tabernacle, maybe for the world, and one for Christ, one for your religious organization, and one for Christ? Let's get rid of them. Let's burn them. You know what they do in Uganda? Those who come out of witchcraft, they burn their shrines. They burn their witchcraft huts. And sometimes it takes terrible amounts of wood to burn the fetishes that don't want to burn because they are infested with the demonic. And I want to bring a shocker to you. The tabernacle of your religious system is infested with the demonic. How do I know that? It has been detouring you away from the blood of Jesus Christ, and it is now detouring you away from the way and the walk that Jesus has for you. That's the problem. And that is born in the womb of Satan. Satan is very smart. He's very sly. He doesn't give up. He's going to fight to the end. We might as well expect that and accept it. Satan is out to steal, kill, and to destroy, and he'll do it in any which way possible. So we need to stick to the simple message that God give us. Now let's go on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Who are we once we're born again by the Spirit of God? Now we are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? How many of you know what an ambassador is? It's a person that is sent by a government to a different country to sell the stuff, to sell the products of this country. So we are God's ambassadors. It says we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. How do you do that? You got to wear suspenders. You got to wear a long dress. You got to wear a head covering. I'm just taking my religion where I come from as an example. I don't know too much about the other stuff. I don't know what the Mennonites do. They have their pet things that they do. But here we are. We got to reconcile people to God. How do we do it? For he, listen to this, he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in ourselves. No, in him. The righteousness that we have only comes from God himself. It is imparted into us. It's implanted into us. And there is nothing for us to brag. The Apostle Paul says, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew, and of the tribe of Benjamin. And he said, I kept the law to the T. But then he goes on and says, but this is nothing but dung, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So I want you to give a good look at your background. What is it? Are you like Paul? The religion that you're brought up in, are you like Paul? And can you say it is nothing but dung? I'm going to be bold today and say straight out, I can assure you that that's all it is. It's even worse than that. It's a deception that will lead you into eternal lake of fire. So, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are here in Christ's stead. We are supposed to reconcile people unto Christ through telling them that we are made righteous and perfect by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Nothing to brag about, right? We don't have much to brag about when we have this message, except bragging in what our Jesus did for us. Because we stand naked, alone, with nothing to prove. He's the one that did it, and he is the one that's going to finish it. I stand in this. Let me tell you, if there's ever a time I have put my trust in this simple message of salvation, it is these days. Because when I go and search out different religions, different types of Christianity on the internet, I am horrified at what I see. They are leaving the simplicity of the cross and turning to doctrines of devils. Now let's see what the first conference was. Very interesting. You know what a conference is? We always had a conference. It was always about the women, how long their dresses should be, how short they should be, what color of stockings they should have, whether you should wear a coat or not wear a coat, or wear a parka or not wear a parka. You know what a parka is? A hood. I remember I was about 10 years old, and this teacher of mine gave me a nice jacket. It was. It had a hood on it. And I proudly wore it home to my mother. And she said, give it to me. She took some scissors, cut off the hood. And I looked at that thing. Oh, my goodness. What will the teacher say? The next day I came to school. And she asked, what happened to your jacket? And I said, we're not allowed to wear them. They're hoods. They're forbidden. They're sinful. Oh, for gosh sakes. She even knew as an unbeliever that that was total baloney. So here we are, standing before God today. What is if there's any do's and don'ts, if there's any laws for us, let's look at what those laws are, from what we should keep ourselves from. Of course, the Holy Spirit will direct you. Sometimes we're addicted to stuff, and God needs to speak to us to let go of it. Corrie ten Boom said, don't hold anything too strong so that you can't let go, so God doesn't have to wrench it out of your hands. It seems good to us. In Acts chapter 15, verse 28, they had their conference. For it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered unto idols. And even after that, after a while, Paul says, if you're really in the Holy Spirit, it don't matter what to eat. So even that one has been nullified. But I wouldn't, because I know how the spirit realm works. They're there to steal, kill, and to destroy. You abstain from meat offered to idols and from blood. You do not drink blood. In the Old Testament, you couldn't eat fat either. There was blood and fat that was verboten. Here, it's only blood. So, hallelujah, I can have a fat marbled steak, and they're awfully good. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever had a ribeye? A little bit of fat in there, perfect. Pour salt and pepper on there. And it says, and then from things strangled. You don't want to eat anything that's been strangled. And from fornication, that's a no-brainer. Stay away from fornication. All of us know that. For if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. So, look at the laws God gave you. Pretty simple, pretty easy, pretty nice to follow. I'm willing to keep the word of God. I'm willing to follow these laws. Not to drink blood is easy for me. Fornication, I have kept myself from that since I've been a Christian. From blood, from strangled things, and all the rest of this stuff. It's easy to follow. Because the burden of Jesus is very light. It says this. How many of you know German? Nehmet auf mich und lernet von mir. Denn ich bin sanftmütig und von Herzen demütig. Und ihr werdet Ruhe finden für eure Seele. Denn mein Joch ist sanft und meine Last ist leicht. I should have studied English instead of German when I was this high. I would know it in English too. But here's how it is. So God loves us, and he wants us to keep on that straight and narrow path. And by the looks of it, when I look at that straight and narrow path, it is very easy to walk on it once you understand it. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
I know him, he knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, he rescues me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him, he knows me. Once I was a sinner, I had no peace within. Then Jesus knocked on my heart's door, and I invited him in. He saved my life completely and gave me victory. I know him, he knows me. I know him, he knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, he rescues me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him, he knows me.
When the book of life is opened and the Lord looks down the road, there will be some there on the day. He'll say, I don't know.
When he calls my name on that day, he'll turn to me and say, I know him, he knows me. I know him, he knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, he rescues me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him, he knows me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him, he knows.